All right, it's Tuesday. New comic books come out tomorrow. And I believe Thanksgiving is this Thursday, if you're in the States at least. So, pull up a chair, have a listen, put on your favorite headset, or just listen to me over the open waves. It's okay, either way. But welcome to Superhero Deep Dive. I am your host, Jason, and I have a new episode today. All right, before I get into it, let me give my normal disclaimers and all that rigmarole so we can just jump right into this. All right, so the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero that we're talking about. If I miss anything or if I leave stuff out, I just normally don't feel like it's that important to the essence of the character when there's a bunch of other stuff available. So I just do that. Or I feel like... like in this issue, or this episode, for instance, if I can get my words right, this superhero had a doppelganger that, you know, did their thing. I'm actually going to consider the doppelganger as part of the original because, yeah, because it just doesn't make a lot of sense otherwise. So we're going to jump in with that. As always, if it is a Tuesday or Thursday, you can be listening to me throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. And that web address is www.un-con-ventional.com/radio. Once again, that's every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day. I am on YouTube with a slideshow. I put new episodes out every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So, hello, welcome. I love you guys. And feel free to catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes Twitch. I'm trying to get on it more. Under Super Deep Dive and use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. On Twitter and Instagram, I post superhero memes throughout the week, which is a lot of fun. So check those out and have yourself a good laugh and a good listen. Okay, let's see here. This week, I'm going to be talking about Terra. And this is the Terra from Teen Titans and DC Universe and Supergirl or Power Girl's sidekick Terra, because they're pretty similar. So, let's get into this. Okay, the original Terra. Her name is Terra Markov. She's a half-sister of Brian Markov, who is Geo-Force in the DC Universe. He's a member of the Outsiders with Batman and the Outsiders. She was the illegitimate daughter of the King of Markovia. And while in Markovia, she came under the care of a Dr. Helga Jace. And through her experiments, Terra obtained Earth manipulation powers. Specifically, the ability to control all forms of Earth and matter. After obtaining these powers, her father requested that she leave Markovia for the United States to prevent the scandal of the King having an illegitimate daughter from becoming public. Unlike her more heroic brother Geo-Force, Terra had deep-rooted psychological issues, including malignant narcissism, believing that with her powers, they should rule the Earth rather than help the weaker masses. As a result of this belief, Terra became a hitwoman, doing dirty work for others. A notable client was Deathstroke the Terminator, who she met when she was 15 and with whom she had a relationship. She joined the Teen Titans, fooling them by staging a battle against Deathstroke. She then operated as a spy, eventually giving Deathstroke the information he needed to kidnap the Titans with no regrets. Eventually, the captured Titans were held in a stronghold of Deathstroke's contractors, the Hive. Nightwing and Deathstroke's son, Joseph Wilson, who is also known as Jericho, raided the complex to rescue them, but were captured. When presented to Deathstroke and the organization in general, Jericho possessed his father and freed the Titans, who then attacked the Hive, not knowing of Jericho's powers. Attacked the Hive. Period. Not knowing of Jericho's powers, Terra believed Deathstroke to have turned against her. In retaliation, she went berserk. When the misunderstanding was cleared, she was still murderously furious at Deathstroke for going soft with love for her son. Changeling, who is known as Beast Boy, in an attempt to stop her rampage, shapeshifted into a small fly, then flew into her eye as a way to distract her. This finally pushed her over the edge as she pulled the whole hive complex down upon itself while trying to kill the Titans. Despite the discovery of her true intentions of joining them, a statue of her was placed in the memorial in Titan's Tower. Her true activities were never made public, with her brother simply being told that she had died in battle. Subsequently, Batman eventually revealed the truth to him in an issue of Batman and the Outsiders, prompting Brian to change his costume to green and gold, as he considered the original brown and orange too similar to the outfit worn by his sister. Alright. And brown and orange is like Virginia Tech colors. You don't want to do that. Be your own person. Alright. In DCU Last Will and Testament, Deathstroke takes credit for Tara's insanity by claiming he gave her the same serum he used on Cassandra Cain and his daughter Rose Wilson, telling Geoforce that the problem with Tara was that we waited too long. By then, the psychosis was so bad she tried to kill us all. This contradicts his earlier account of her lifelong insanity in the Titans following the Judas contract. Although it is possible that Tara had mental issues from the start, and that Deathstroke's serum served to exasperate them, to the point where Tara had her psychotic break that resulted in her death. I like that. They kind of took it, and they're like, you know, we put this in because it'd be awesome, and it'd give Deathstroke kind of this evil character, like evil, more evil side. But it kind of contradicts, so let's just make it work. And they did. Like, I would buy that. I would buy that excuse. Like, she was already messed up, and this just pushed it over. Alright, in 2008, there was a Tara miniseries that intended to explain that Tara was driven insane by an element called Quixium, harvested from strata, which had been used by Markovian scientists to grant her Earth-based powers. With a year-long delay in the publication of the Tara miniseries and the interim release of DCU Last Will and Testament, this plot point was dropped completely. According to Justin Gray, so Tara 1 stays as she was in Last Will and Testament. The brain damage was part of the initial story before that, and that all the three Terras and Geoforce to Strata, the book needed to be changed to reflect Last Will and Testament. The double ship made changes to issue 2 when possible. It happens. And we all did what we could to make it work. And they did. They made it work. So, that is the original Tara. That's the one that everyone knows from the Teen Titans cartoons, Teen Titans Go. You know, all that stuff. The comics. That's the main one. That was the one that we grew up knowing. That's the one that we were like, oh my goodness, Deathstroke is a pedophile. So, yeah. There is another Tara. A new Tara named Atlee appears in Supergirl number 12, sporting a new outfit and black hair. She emerges near a party Supergirl is attending, fighting a creature from a civilization under the Earth's surface. While Supergirl expresses disdain for the superhero activities which interfere with her personal life, Tara counters by saying that being a superhero is simply the right thing to do. She does not comprehend Supergirl's complaints. Together, they defeat the monster by collapsing the ground under it, and then Tara departs. The Tara miniseries reveals that she is a member of an alien race called Stratans, who live below the Earth's surface in a massive cave called Strata, which is actually the empty spacesuit of a long-dead cosmic extraterrestrial and possesses a rare mutation granted by a unique orb called Quixium that grants her the Earth power she wields. So they were trying to connect that one with the original Tara and Geoforce and stuff. So you kind of see where they're going with it. During the final Crisis crossover, a group of teen supervillains calling themselves the Terra Titans begin abducting teenage metahumans to use as competitors in the Darkseid Club, an underground arena where the young heroes are brainwashed and forced to fight to the death for spectators and wealthy patrons. After learning of the abductions, Tara goes on the run, eventually meeting up with fellow teen superheroes Aqua Girl, Molecule, Offspring, Zachary Zatara, and the Star Spangled Kid. While deciding on a course of action, the teens are ambushed by the Terror Titans, who proceed to overpower and capture them, killing Molecule in the process. Atlee and the others are taken to the Darkseid Club and subjected to the Anti-Life Equation, which causes them to become slaves to Darkseid and his cadre of followers. Yay! After winning several matches in the tournament, Terra is made a member of the Clock King's Martyr Militia, a team of brainwashed superhumans he plans to use on an attack in Los Angeles. Atlee and the others are ultimately freed from the Anti-Life Equation when Miss Martian, Rose Wilson, and Static lead a rebellion against the Terra Titans and capture the various members of the Darkseid Club. In the aftermath of the successful rebellion, Atlee accompanies her rescuers and fellow survivors to Titans Tower in San Francisco, hoping to take some time to recuperate. While resting, Atlee is offered a spot on the Teen Titans by Wonder Girl, which she politely declines, saying that she wishes to distance herself from the tragedy surrounding the membership of the previous two bearers of the Terra identity. Rested from her stay with the Titans, Atlee returns to be the sidekick of Power Girl, successfully helping her save Manhattan from the Ultra Humanite. After that, she elects Manhattan as a base of operation to benefit from the constant mentoring of Power Girl, both in establishing and maintaining a human identity and in her superhuman persona. She takes on an Australian accent in her civilian identity, finding the half-truth of her being from Down Under quite humorous. She and Power Girl begin a close friendship, going to the movies and even shopping together at an IKEA-esque Scandinavian furniture store. Atlee also decides to drop her Australian accent, instead claiming that her new cover identity is that of a spy, something Power Girl finds quite humorous. Okay. Now, Terra helps Power Girl during her battle with Satana. Not Zatanna, but Satana. Like Satan, only with boobs, I guess. Yeah. And later ends up discussing the possibility of joining the Justice Society or the Teen Titans. Power Girl notices that Atlee's demeanor has changed and begins to suspect that something's wrong. It's eventually revealed that Atlee has been kidnapped by Ultra Humanite and her brain removed in order for him to place his brain in her body, due to Power Girl crippling his original body in a former fight. Eventually, Power Girl is able to retrieve Atlee, now trapped in the crippled simian body of the Ultra Humanite, and bring her back to Strata. There, Atlee is given her body back, and the Ultra Humanite is turned into the human Gerard Schugel. In this occasion, Atlee expresses no desire to stay in Strata, asking Power Girl to bring her back to the surface world, to which she has grown a liking as soon as possible. And in Wonder Woman 600, Atlee appears alongside fellow teen heroines Batgirl and Supergirl as part of an all-female team designed to repel a faux alien invasion. After the battle is over, Atlee proclaims that she thinks she could take Wonder Woman on in a fight, which is a notion that Stargirl scoffs at, and then we fade to black from there. So, that was both Terras, and like I said, there's one that's a doppelganger, and I just didn't include it. So whenever you hear the reference of three Terras, they're including the doppelganger. There wasn't much of a difference between the original Terra and the doppelganger, so that's why I'm just kind of grouping them all together. The other one doesn't really need her own story. So, at least that's in my opinion. I could be wrong. But what do you guys think of this? Pretty cool, right? Like, I like how they tried. They really tried to meld everything together. But let me know what you think. Like I said, you can catch me on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch under Super Deep Dive and use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. And if you're watching this on YouTube with the slideshow, I hope you're enjoying the pictures. And leave a comment, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff so we can maybe build an audience and, you know, kind of be a premier source for superhero information, because that would be amazing. All right, but let's talk about their powers. In comics, Terra is easily able to bend the earth to her will, hence her name, anything from controlling small pebbles to large boulders. She has a strong sense in this ability, and she can geokinetically control and manipulate earthly materials around her with her mind alone, but is limited to only rocks. Is limited to only rocks, dirt, stones, boulders, concrete, soil, mud, brick, granite, marble, lava, and magma. So anything stone related. This is because her powers are not to the extent where she can influence and manipulate plant life. And it's probably because plant life is more alive than just there, like the earth is. Let's see here. Various feats that she can do with her powers includes geokinetically using a large boulder to carry herself through the air, creating constructs such as floating platforms, earth pylons, rock cages, shields, creating huge fissures, crevices, and earthquakes, mudslides, volcanoes, and tremors. She also has accelerated healing, and she can immerse herself in the earth and waves of lava and magma, or produce sand to heal herself from grave wounds. So that's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome power set right there. I got nothing on that. That's a pretty awesome. That's pretty badass. All right. Despite her horrific ordeal at the hands of the Darkseid Club and her earlier appearances as a serious, keep to herself, quiet and polite young woman, Atli's personality, which is the other Terra, is on the opposite end of the spectrum from the original. As Terra mostly hid a brooding, dark personality, Atli's true self seems to be one of a cheery, peppy, and nonsensical adolescent, completely innocent without surface life, and hailing from a society who apparently banished malice and human greed from their lifestyles. As a result, she takes an early veneration for Power Girl, seldom leaving her side. She also shows a deep craving for human pop culture. A permanent fixture in the 2009 Power Girl series being Atli comically commenting and trying to emulate fictional characters from various movies. Atli's powers are currently limitless. While she herself limits herself to harmless feats, such as growing large formations of rocks, with the slowness needed to avoid a geological hazard, and using floating rocks as projectiles and to levitate around. Gerard Schrugel, the ultra-humanite, while residing in her body, was able to shift nearby tectonic plates with ease or cause volcanoes to erupt at his will. He surmises that Atli has always been this powerhouse, like has always had this amazing amount of power, but willingly chose to limit herself in fear of the damage she would cause. That is awesome. That's amazing. I love how they kind of expanded on it, but they used her own innocence as kind of a get out of jail with that. So I like that. I dig it. All right. Fun facts. You know, we're going to see the original Terra in all the cartoons for Teen Titans. We're going to see her in, anything related to Cartoon Network's Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go. Whether it's video games, whether it's the movies that come from it, all that stuff. We're going to see her, so I'm not including all that. But her creators for the original Terra, the character was created with an intended finite lifespan. Co-creator Perez stated that when he and Mark Wolfman knew from the very start that this girl was going to be a traitor and that they were going to kill this character off. When creating the look of the character, Perez noted that he wanted her to be cute but not beautiful. Like, he wanted her to look like a young girl. He gave her a substantial overbite. Her eyes were wide. Her body was slim. She wasn't particularly busty. And he wanted her to look almost elven, so that when you see her for the first time wearing full makeup and dressed in the provocative outfits, where she's just been in bed with Deathstroke, he wanted it to hit you a little bit and be like, whoa, good God, this little girl's a slut. Those were his words. I think they accomplished that for the most part. Because I remember when I first read it, I was like, what is happening here? Like, I was it was one of those issues that when it was revealed, you had to put it down, walk away, and kind of process what you read, and then come back to it later, because it was just unheard of. And I mean, even nowadays, it's unheard of. You know, like, you can't do that. So, yeah, those are like the power sets. They're immensely powerful. Like, there's practically limitless. What do you guys think of this? Let me know. But we're going to come up to my favorite part, which is the power expansion. This is where I take it. And does a character need their own comic series? Do they need a movie? Do they need like a Netflix or Disney Plus or Amazon Prime or Hulu series? You know, something like that. Do they need an animated series? Are they good just being a background character? You know, just anything really. Like, what can we do for this character? And Terra, at least the original one, has always had an amazing story. You know, they broke ground with this. And I believe that it needs the same movie treatment that the Joker movie had. And I'm not talking about Batman, like Batman's Joker. I'm talking about the standalone Joker movie. And hear me out on this, okay? So I'm going to lay it out for you. Terra finds out that she's the illegitimate daughter of European royalty. And now she's like a teenage girl in this. Growing up basically foster home to foster home, practically out on the streets, you know, because some of these foster homes are great. I know foster parents and they are wonderful, but there are some that take advantage of the system. And that's where we get the negative stereotypes. Let's have this be one of those negative stereotypes. So, you know, so she finds out she was the daughter of European royalty, but was never acknowledged and basically thrown away. Okay. So when she's discovered to be who she is, her brother, who is Geoforce, is a national symbol for Markovia and embraces her openly. Okay. And while he may be genuine in this and embracing her, she's already been jaded so much that no matter what he does, she feels like he's just patronizing her. And she goes into survival mode, looking out only for herself, you know, kind of plotting and scheming so that she can keep her place and her comfortability more so than anyone else's. She can't fathom there being room for more than one person in like this castle or this household, this family, this country. You know, because she's just been jaded to that point where if something goes good for her, it's going to end up backfiring on her and hurting her, so she would rather strike first. That kind of survival mode. So while her brother, or while with her brother, you know, something can happen that can trigger their powers. But as it turns out, Terra already knew about her powers. So let's not have it be where they were experimented on and given powers. Let's have it be like they were born with it or something. Okay? That way we can at least get past that and move on to the next plot point. So, and we can have her brother, since he's like the full-blooded Markovian prince, you know, he can be like this national symbol, like I said before, like basically the Captain America. Like, he has been trained to do the right thing at all times. He's a Boy Scout. He's physically fit. So when he gets his power, he's learning how to do it. And he's learning, his immediate thought is like, okay, great. I can save so many more people now. And she plays along with it, but she knew how to do it. So she shows more control. She shows more strength with the powers, because like I said, she knows how to do it, because she had to learn it when she was fighting for her own self. You know, she had to take care of herself. Some of those may have been bad situations. What if she learned to use pebbles or rocks as bullets, basically? You know, so she's able to hurt people. You know, would it, I mean, who knows what she's been through? And we can expand on that in the movie or something, like with little flashbacks. But let's have it be like, you know, she shows greater control and strength with it and basically ends up overpowering her brother and injuring him either to death or to near death. Basically, we want to write him out of the movie. He doesn't have to die, but he can be seriously hurt to the point where she needs to get away. So she runs away. She runs back to America to get away from the law of Markovia. And in doing so, she runs into Deathstroke. Now, this is where Deathstroke starts to take her in, and using his own mentality of, like, you know, looking out for himself and surviving, he ends up earning her trust because they're kind of like-minded spirits. And in that process, he ends up seducing her. Maybe not physically, but maybe just mentally, to where she almost becomes dependent on him and has that crush. But he maybe doesn't reciprocate. He just lets her feel what she wants to feel, you know, stuff like that, because it serves his own ends. So, you know, this at this point, the story can then unfold to the betrayal of the Titans, have her actually be responsible for the death of someone, like one or two people in the Titans, and ultimately her death or something just as devastating. But the main goal in this is what we want to do is make Terra the evil person that's evil only because it's really all she knows. And we have to show that that's really all that she knows. Like, she's bad, but only in such a way that you want to cheer for her and you want to see her change. Like, she's the one that you see something, you see what she could be, but she, time after time, refuses to be that person. It's kind of cliche, but I think that we could do it well with it. And, you know, she's going to be the one that you want to reach out for, even though you know she's going to bite your hand as soon as she gets close enough to it. So that's what I was thinking for the movie. Like, you know, with the Joker movie, we saw this and we saw that he literally ended up going crazy because he was lied to and he was tortured and bullied throughout his life. You know, so he almost became relatable. And I think that if we were just watching the movie without any knowledge of the Joker from Batman and just this, we would have backed him up even more. Even though I think that the Joker movie is an amazing movie. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. And I really, really enjoyed it to the point where I've watched it numerous times. But what do you guys think? Do we have something here? I think we do. Now, who do we get to play Terra? Hear me out on this, because it's kind of a weak choice. I went more physicality than anything, but I think it can work. I wanted to get Dove Cameron. Like, she's got relatively weak acting chops, and you know, don't get me wrong. My kids liked the Descendants movies when they were young. But she really hasn't gotten out of that Disney shadow. But I feel she could definitely grow into this role. Like, she showed some range when she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think that with the right opportunity, she could do this. She's got the look that she can be cute and adorable. But she's also got a look where she can be sexy if she wanted. She's one of those weird actresses for me that you're like, yeah, she could be really cute. I don't find her overly sexual, but I can see where she could be, I guess. And I'm trying to say that in the least creepy way possible, because I'm not trying to be creepy. I'm calling a spade at this point. But I think she could do well in it. I think that this could be a movie that would make her career. Give her something more than just that Disney girl. You know? So what do you guys think? Am I on to something? Did I miss anything? Let me know. Like I said, you can catch me on Twitter. My DMs are always open. You can send me something on my wall. I don't care. You can always comment on a picture or send me a message on Instagram. They're both under Super Deep Dive, and use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can catch me on Twitch, maybe. I'm hardly ever on, but follow me on Twitch or friend me on Twitch. And, you know, if you see me on, let's have a conversation. If you ever wanted to email me, I get emails from time to time. My email address is b4itall@yahoo.com. And if you're watching this on YouTube, comment, like, subscribe. If you leave a comment, I normally respond to them unless it's like a response to a response. And then I might, but I always acknowledge it regardless. I always put a thumbs up or something. You know, I always acknowledge it. In fact, next week's episode is going to be Static Shock. From a comment on one of my YouTube videos, they did a request. So I am going to honor that and get that as the next issue or the next episode. So until then, guys. I will see you later. Everyone, be happy, be blessed, be safe, be smart. And if you're not smart, don't get caught. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.